For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, All Things Work Together for Good, as we pick up in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Verse 28. And we know that most things work together for good to them that love God. How many times have you interpreted it that way? Well, I know, but not this case, you know. I don't see how in this case. Many times I'm willing to acknowledge, oh yes, God's going to work out good in this. You see, I can see how God can work this. Yeah, mm-hmm. Most things do work together for good to those that love God. Not of what it says, is it? And we know that all things. You know, I have found such rest and comfort in this verse when I am faced, as I am often faced, with situations that I can't understand. Disappointments, setbacks. Things that I just don't understand, and I'm prone to be concerned or worried or get upset, and then this verse will come to mind. And we know that all things are working together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. And I've rested in this verse over and over and over again. Now, as I have told you, you are not going to always understand your circumstances. There are going to be many things that will happen to you of which, though you do your best, you're not going to be able to understand it or figure it out. And when you come against that which you can't understand, it is important that you have certain foundations that you do understand and you fall back on the foundations. What do I understand? I understand that God loves me. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. I understand that God is wiser than I am. I understand that God is in control of all of the circumstances that surround my life. Thus, anything that happens to me only happens to me because God has allowed it to happen to me. It could not happen to me unless God did allow it to happen to me. And God loves me and is working out what is best for me. Thus, I can rest in the most uncomfortable places. I rest in faith that God is even going to use this for my good and His glory. Now, if you will just take this and file it up here to where you'll live by it, you won't have to come to Romaine and get his hammer on your head. You know, things start going wrong. Oh, got to talk to somebody, you know. Hey, wait a minute. God's in control. God loves you. And God knows what's going on. And God is working, even in this situation, His good purpose in your life. For all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. My father was a salesman. For years, he was a sales engineer for the Southern Counties Gas Company, and then he went into the real estate business and was a realtor here in Santa Ana for many years. And The life of a salesman is a life of feast or famine and potential great feast. I mean, he had some nice deals that if he could have just put together, the commission would have just, oh man, you know. And a lot of times you've even put a great deal in escrow. And when you've got it in escrow, you're feeling pretty good about it. You've got a sizable deposit. It's in escrow. And boy, my commission on this is going to be about $35,000. And all right, now. And it's interesting, you start spending the commission. But it's amazing how that sometimes these sure deals can fall out of escrow. And oh, what disappointment. You know, just the bottom is knocked out here. You know, I had all my bills paid and I became current and, oh, you know, we had the new living room furniture practically delivered, you know, and now it's fallen out of escrow and, oh, God, you know, what are we going to do now? And so my dad had a little plaque made with the words, all things, and he had it there on his desk. So that when some big deal would fall out of escrow, he'd just look at that little plaque. All things are working together for good. I think it would be good for all of us to make a little plaque and put it on our mirrors or someplace where we're reminded every day that all things are working together for good to those who love God. Not just some of the things. But because you've been called according to his purpose, you can rest in the confidence that God is in control and all things are working together for good. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, God foreknew me. That always amazes me, but it shouldn't surprise me because he knows everything. But the thing that amazes me is that foreknowing me, he predestined that I should be one of his children. That's the thing that amazes me most. He foreknew me and then predestined that I should be conformed to the image of his Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, that we might be made the sons of God, but the firstborn is first in prominence. Jesus, the first in prominence. But he is the firstborn of many brethren, and I've been born again by the Spirit of God. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, here God is speaking of things concerning me that are not yet fulfilled. For you do not yet see the glorified Chuck. I'm not yet in my glorified state. That is a yet future experience that I am to have. But yet God puts it in the past tense, which to me is quite interesting. But even as he spoke to Abraham concerning his seed in the past tense, because he knew that Abraham was going to have a son, whom he did foreknow, and because God has the foreknowledge, he can speak, as Paul said, of things as existing, even though as yet they do not exist, because he knows they're going to exist. And so God speaks, and this is what thrills me, he speaks of my being glorified because God knows he's going to do it. He's going to complete that work in me. He which has begun a good work in me shall surely continue to perform it. And so I rest in the fact that God has already spoken in the past tense of my future state of glorified together with Jesus Christ. I've got it made. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now Paul asks a series of questions. If God be for us, who can be against us? Satan is against us. The world is against us. But the idea is, what is Satan and what is the world compared with God? As David said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. If God be for me. And the glorious truth is this, God is for you tonight. And because God is for you, I don't care what forces of hell may be against you. They are nothing compared to God. Never think of Satan as the opposite of God. He is not. Not at all the opposite of God. You can't put them in the same categories. God is the infinite, eternal creator. Satan is a finite created being. In no way is he opposite of God. He may be opposite to Michael. Or to Gabriel, but never to God. Never think of him as opposite of God. And thus, though the forces of hell be gathered against you, they are nothing compared with that power that is available to you because God is for you. How do I know God is for me? Because he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That word delivered is speaking of the cross. Delivered him to die. And how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God delivered his son to die for my sins. God delivered his son to suffer, to be despised and rejected, as was prophesied in Isaiah, and to be delivered for my sins. I didn't fully appreciate that until I became a parent. And I watched my own little babies suffer from some of the childhood maladies. And whenever my children would get a fever, would become listless and sick or whatever, it would so tear me up inside to see them in that condition. How I hurt to see my children suffer. How I hurt to see my grandchildren suffer. My little granddaughter tonight has got an ear infection, not feeling well. And it just tears me up. How I wish there were some way that I could suffer for her. That I could have that ear infection and I could somehow take her suffering and bear it for her so that she wouldn't have to suffer. And that beautiful, sparkling, darling little gal wouldn't have to lie there listless and crying and threshing in the bed. Oh, what I wouldn't give if I couldn't take her place and suffer for her. And then I began to realize the pain the father must have gone through to see his son suffering. Even more so than his coming himself. As a parent, you'd gladly take the place of your child and suffer for them. But to have to see your child suffer, and God delivered him up for us all, how much more then shall he not freely give us all things? God is not reluctant to help you. God doesn't have to be begged to come to your assistance. God is more willing to give than we are to receive. And God has already demonstrated his willingness to give his only begotten son, deliver him up. Then if God is willing to do that much for you, the rest is easy. Nothing that you might need could possibly come close to comparing what God has already demonstrated his willingness to give and do for you because he loves you so much. Our problem is that we just don't understand the depth of God's love for us. How rich, how broad, how expansive is God's love for you tonight? Oh, if you only knew how much God loved you, you would never run away from him again. You'd never try to hide from him again. If you only knew that God's love for you is broader than the universe. And God's desires for you are only for your good. And it is foolish to run from God. It's foolish to fight God because you're fighting against the very best for your own life. The next question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You see, he told me that God foreknew me, and because he foreknew me, he chose me. And then he justified me, and then he glorified me. So God elected me. That's what Jesus said. You didn't choose me, I chose you. God elected me. Then who's going to lay anything to my charge because God elected me? He's already glorified me as far as he's concerned. And who's going to lay anything to my charge? Who's going to make charges against me? Well, Satan does. He's the accuser of the brethren. People often do. But there's one who isn't making any charges against me, and that's God. Oh, how happy is the man to whom God does not impute iniquity. God doesn't have any black book on me. He doesn't keep a record of my mistakes, my sins, my failures. He's justified me. He has declared me innocent of all charges. Who is he that condemneth? Well, again, Satan condemns, people condemn, and I condemn myself. We are often so hard on ourselves and are in the position of condemning ourselves. But I can tell you, one who is not condemning, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And he who believes is not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Then who is it? Who is the one condemning? Satan is condemning, but why should I worry about that? The world may be condemning me. Why should I worry about that? The one who really counts is not condemning me, because he died for me, yea, rather is risen again. In fact, he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for me. You say, oh, but I failed God so miserably. Oh, but I've done this. Hey, wait a minute. You may condemn yourself, but Jesus isn't. He's interceding in your behalf. Oh, if you only understood how much God loved you, that's all you need. Now, Paul tells you a little bit about it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The next question, actually. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But can the persecution, the peril, the nakedness, the sword, can these things separate me from the love of Christ? No. For in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's one thing to be a conqueror. The Rams conquered the 49ers today. They weren't quite sure, though. There wasn't much rejoicing until that field goal attempt was blocked in the last 3 seconds. And then they went wild. Then they conquered. All right, we've conquered. And then was the great elation, rejoicing. Pretty tense there for a little bit. But you know what it is to be more than a conqueror? Hey, it's to have the victory in the midst of the battle. While things are still raging around me, while the outcome still seems to be very uncertain, is to have the glorious victory and rejoicing then. That's more than a conqueror. And we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, which are ranks of angelic beings, nor powers, other ranks, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul made the case just as airtight as he possibly could, put in everything he could think of, and yet some poor timid souls stand there and quiver, thinking God's going to forsake them now. God surely can't love me anymore. You know, he's through with me. He's had it with me. Wait a minute. Nothing can separate you from that love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. No angel, no principality, no power, nothing that has ever been before or shall ever come. Things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created being will be able to separate you from God's love in Christ, because God's love for you is constant, it is eternal, and it is not predicated upon you, but upon his own nature of love. God's love for me is uncaused by my part. Therefore, it is a constant and remains. God doesn't love me when I'm good and hate me when I'm bad. God loves me good or bad, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, all the way. His love is there and constant. Oh, how grateful we are for that love of God for us tonight in Christ Jesus. God, help us to comprehend what is the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, and to know that love of Christ God has for us in him.
Now featuring a beautifully redesigned cover, The Word for Today presents Reflecting God, an inspiring book by Kay Smith, written especially for women who want to grow in faith and impact those around them. One of the most meaningful ways to reflect God is by sharing his love in everyday life. But what does that truly look like? In Reflecting God, Kay Smith offers powerful biblical insights and real-life examples from her own walk with the Lord. You'll learn how to love, nurture, and pray for those God has entrusted to you. It's perfect for personal reading and an excellent choice for women's Bible study groups or small group gatherings. Let this book encourage you and help you encourage others. Order your copy of Reflecting God today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. May the light, the joy, the love, the peace of Christ just keep your life as you walk in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit in close communion with God, as his Spirit just bears witness with your spirit of that glorious relationship that you have as God's child, his heir for all eternity.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 8. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.